In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Keep on advancing in our journey of preparation for the Nativity of the Lord. As you know, the Church sets for us these four Sundays of the month of Kiak with very specific themes, and it kind of culminates in the Feast of the Nativity. We have here the four icons that are not exactly lined up with those four Sundays, because you don't have here an icon of the Annunciation to Zechariah. You do have him declaring the name of St. John the Baptist, and that is next week by God's grace. But today, our focus is on the icon right before that, the third one from the left, and that is the meeting of the Holy Virgin Mary with Elizabeth. When she heard from the angel that her cousin Elizabeth is now also pregnant, it says she hastened. She went with haste to the mountain, the hill country, as it says here in English. It's supposed to be the mountain, and to the city of Judah, and she went into to meet with Elizabeth and to help her and to serve her. Now, this is the culmination of the last two Sundays, because it's not just a matter of familial relations and the Holy Virgin Mary rendering love and service to her elder relative who is now pregnant after so many years, but it's ultimately also about what you see here in the icon, the meeting of our Lord Jesus Christ and Saint John the Baptist, who were unborn at the time in earthly terms, but who knew each other quite well already through the Holy Spirit. So it's the culmination of the last two Sundays, the declaration of the birth of John the Baptist, and then the annunciation of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we see these two things coming together. The fulfillment of the Old Testament, the greatest prophet of all, that is John the Baptist, and the fulfillment of all these promises in the Word of God incarnate, our Lord Jesus Christ. But like I said, the first thing that you hear here is that the Holy Virgin Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. And she greeted her, and there's the beautiful hymn, My Soul Magnifies the Lord. But then she stayed with her and remained with her about 3 months, helping her, serving her, comforting her during her pregnancy. St. Ambrose meditates on this idea of going up to the hill country, going up to the mountain, and that this ascent in this case is not an ascent of solitude, it's not an ascent of ascetic seclusion from others, but it's a process of ascent for the purpose of service, motivated by this spiritual love that exists between the Holy Virgin Mary and Elizabeth, her relative or her cousin, as we say. This time of year, every time of year like this, Christmas season, holiday season, can be difficult for those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost parents, those who have lost relatives, cousins. And it is especially difficult because we build all of these memories and these familial traditions that are enhanced or emphasized, especially during this time of year. The getting together, the sharing of memories and times and exchanging of gifts and all of the good things that exist on our human, physical, familial level of being related to one another and the kinds of memories we build together in that kind of space. But the Lord comes and reminds us here, and this is what the Holy Virgin Mary does, not just through bonds of physical affection, but through being filled with the Holy Spirit, and also Elizabeth being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what brings them together, not just this bond of family, but this spiritual bond. And the Church always reminds us of this. If you remember, it took us a while today in the Synaxar. Time and again, the Church emphasizes for us, as a message of hope, not as a way to discount familial love, that our family ultimately is the family of the whole Church. And that our loved ones are not just who are related to us by name or by family or by physical connection, but that all the saints are our family, all of the saints. And you hear this especially in the lives that we read today in the Synaxar. You hear, for example, of the martyrs, Bahnam and Sarah, their brother and sister, and who tortures them and kills them? It's their father, King Sennacherib. the story seems to be emphasizing to you that it's not the physical connection that counts the most, but it's the connection to our Lord Jesus Christ, our family of faith. Not, again, as a way to compromise your love for your family or your love for those who are related to you, but in a way to enhance it, to give you a message of hope that even if you've experienced the loss of loved ones and you miss them at this time of year, that you remember that you have brothers, sisters, mothers and fathers, cousins and relatives throughout the kingdom of heaven in the person of these saints. And that ultimately for those martyrs, for example, Bahnam and Sarah, it wasn't their physical connection to their father that was most comforting and gave them the most love and strength. It was their connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their connection, for example, to the father that taught them, St. Matthew. You hear this also in the later story with Bishop Ammonius of Isna that we just read now, and it was a very lengthy story, very profound, because in one part of it, it says that as the soldiers came and looked for the Christians, the parents were giving their children to the soldiers, saying, go, be united with the bridegroom who does not die. Your real bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the story seems to be emphasizing this between the lines. It's this intertextuality that you have to pay attention to when you hear the stories of the saints. It's not just the immediate surface level of what the story is saying, but what it's trying to tell you. And what it's trying to tell you is that the lesson for us is that our true bridegroom, our true family, our true loved ones are our Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints in the kingdom of heaven. And that is why throughout the history of the church, you find many, many faithful, just like you and me and all of us here, who had very strong relations, very personal relations with the saints in the kingdom of heaven, and had particular saints that they loved and that they were attached to. And you find this evident in all kinds of acts of charity in the name of certain saints. When the Feast of Archangel Michael comes, for example, and so many places in Egypt, you have these loving expressions of charity and generosity in honor of the one they love, that is the Archangel Michael. Anyway, I won't press this too much because it's only a small part of what we have to meditate on today in this gospel. One of the first things that happened in this encounter between St. Mary and Elizabeth is that Elizabeth comes and says, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She felt so unworthy that the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ should come to her. Now again, step back and look at the more kind of apparent relationship that exists here. Even look at the icon. You'll see obviously that the Holy Virgin Mary is much younger in age than Elizabeth, her relative. You see that painted on their faces. So on the human level, it makes perfect sense for the younger one to go to the older one, for the younger person to go serve their older relative who is in much more need, and out of respect and honor of them, especially the kind of honor that we know exists in our Middle Eastern societies, that she would come. But Elizabeth didn't look at it from the perspective of her physical age and the Holy Virgin Mary's age, because filled with the Holy Spirit, she realized how unworthy she was for the mother of her Lord to come to her. Oftentimes, we take our own sonship to the Lord for granted, as almost like it is our right, or something that is a self-evident truth. Everybody is God's son, everybody is God's children, and there's nothing about it that is unusual or should make us stop and feel unworthy. But that is to our own detriment. We must realize, first of all, this season, that our sonship to the Lord Jesus Christ is a matter of gift. It's not because we are who we are. It's not because of the community that we are born into without any choice. It's not because we just happen to be raised in an Orthodox church in the Orthodox faith. It is above all and first and foremost a gift, an unmerited gift that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Holy Virgin Mary responds and says, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's a very famous hymn, and it's one that exists in one form or another in almost all Christian traditions. It exists in Latin as the Magnificat. We have it in one of our gospel passages throughout this month during the Tisbeha. Almost every church around East and West has appropriated this praise as its own. my soul, not just the Virgin Mary's, my soul magnifies the Lord. Literally, to magnify is to make greater, to make bigger, to enlarge. The Holy Virgin Mary literally had our Lord Jesus Christ in her womb, and he was physically growing inside of her day after day. So there's a very literal sense that we shouldn't miss, a sort of irony to this phrase, my soul magnifies the Lord. We too magnify the Lord when he grows in us and continues to grow inside of us through our spiritual life and through our participation in him, to the point that he becomes our entire being. As St. Paul says, in him we move and have our being. So we talked the last few Sundays about the idea of gifts. Abuna spoke to us 2 weeks ago about being a gift to others this season. And I spoke last week about presenting ourselves as a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ this season. And why? Because ultimately, again, we are leading up to this climax where the end all be all is that Christ himself is the gift that we receive. Christ himself is the gift. But because of the enormity of the gift, because of how great that gift is, our Lord and Savior himself, for us to receive that gift, you'd have to empty yourself. You'd have to trample down your own ego. You'd have to make room for him as you would make room for something huge coming into your home. And so in the same way, we undo and we create space by eliminating our lusts for ourselves, eliminating as much as we can our love for self. That's what the ego is. We eliminating all the unhealthy thought patterns that lead us to be stuck in our spiritual lives and never make any progress. Nothing less is sufficient. Nothing less is enough in order to receive that enormous gift that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and for us to be able to say, my soul magnifies the Lord. It's not about abolishing the self. It's not about you not becoming anymore who you are, you created uniquely, but it's about transfiguring yourself. It's about becoming the best version of yourself that God intended, so that you are truly are ready for the reception of this gift. And in the course of this praise, the Virgin Mary speaks and says, he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. See, this is the crux of Orthodox spirituality. It's this simultaneous conviction on our part that we are deeply and truly unworthy of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, but also at the same time, as a way of balance, knowing that our Lord himself has willed and has desired, and it's his pleasure to come to us, and it's his pleasure to be with us. The two can't be separated from one another, or you have a very lopsided, unhealthy spirituality. I'm extremely unworthy, but the Lord himself wants to be with my unworthy self. And this is the matter, because when we go back to the psalm today, one of the famous psalms that we meditate about this season, it says, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Righteousness is when you are doing correctly by the law. But if you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to establish that sort of righteousness. Because there's nothing fair, there's nothing righteous about breaking down the mighty and elevating the lowly. But it's about establishing mercy and peace. His truth is this paradox that I'm talking about now. And the first person, the first mighty to come down in this phrase is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we pray in the fraction for this feast, which is a very beautiful theological, deep prayer of the fraction, God who is immeasurable, uncontainable, infinite. Why do we repeat these phrases? To remind us that this infant in the manger that we look at and all the Christmas scenes around the neighborhoods and all that is ultimately not an infant, but God who is immeasurable, uncontainable, infinite, who desired nothing else. It was his will, it was his good pleasure to become contained, to become measured by age and years and space and time, and to be like us in everything, taking the form of a servant. Why all of this? In order to give us this ultimate gift. And all we have to do then is to prepare ourselves well, to prepare ourselves adequately for the reception of this gift. And none of this will work for us unless you become convinced, first of all, that you do need this gift. Oftentimes, again, we take these things for granted. And that's what was my, you know, behind my comment about Elizabeth saying, why is it that I'm granted that the mother of my Lord should come to me? A lot of times we don't understand our own need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you live in a state of self-sufficiency, you will never put in the effort and feel the need to empty yourself, as I've said, to receive this greatest gift. But God came and he became incarnate. And as it says, he took what is ours and granted us what is his. He became human that we may become divine, that we may become like gods by grace, as St. Athanasius says in his works. May the Lord grant us to prepare adequately for this, to prepare well. And this is part of why we watch in the church all night. It's exhausting, it's inconvenient, it is all kinds of tiring. And afterwards, you know, the older I get, the more it takes me days after to recover from this. But why? Why bother with all of this? Because it's one small way that teaches us to say no to self, to say no to what our bodies desire, and to say yes to what our spirit desires. And if you're thinking, I'm not even aware that my spirit needs this, I'm not even aware of any contradiction inside of me between my body and something else that's telling me to stay up all night, well, that is a big part of the problem, is that we're not hearing what our spirit is saying. May the Lord grant us this all. To him be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.